Be kingdom minded, says the Spirit of grace. And above all things, be eternal minded, understanding the desire and the heartbeat of the Father is for you to come, and for the souls that you'll bring and the harvest that you'll bring with you. Look past the small things in this life, but I'll give you grace to occupy. I'll even prosper you in the time in which you live. But do not be small in the way that you conceive of things and perceive of things. Look to the bigger. Understand that I desire for you to see my kingdom come and my will be done on this planet until I come. Occupy till I come with my grace, looking at the bigger things. Do not look and be not dismayed, even with your setbacks, even with your losses, and those things that seem to take on such a largeness in this life, says the Spirit of the Lord. Let my Spirit take you to a place of eternal blessings, seeing those things which are to come. Your eternal crown with me is far more than just something of material value. This is my presence and my reward on you. The very best in which you know me as in this life will be magnified in the world and the life to come, says the Spirit of grace. So seek those things which are above, and all those things which are beneath will take on littler, much smaller value than they seem to have, as in setbacks and in things that dismay your walk presently. See things in the bigger picture as I see you as kings and priests reigning with me in the future and in the world and eternities to come. See yourself now. When the challenges come on a mundane basis, I'll give you grace to fix them. But stop within yourself and say, what does this have to do in the weight of eternity and souls and my family being born again and coming into the kingdom? I'll help you, but I'm asking my body to continue to grow up and mature so that I come back as for a mature bride, thoroughly furnished unto good works, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you that everything that we need, you've already provided, not just physical, spiritual, and in every part of our life. All academics, Lord, you're there. We give you the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is good. Maybe if it's up on a high, the temperature's right, but if you can lower the fan up just a little bit, I don't know if that's possible. Hallelujah. I appreciate these guys. They're like, helping me out so much and dealing. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Stay with me in the Spirit. We just worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Angels ascending and descending in this house. Atmosphere conducive for all things. Working of miracles. Gift of faith. Discerning of spirit. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Everything, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blind see, deaf hear, dumb speak, dead raised, maimed whole. Millions being born again. Atmosphere. Presence. Thickness. The glory cloud of the Lord. Let them witness it, Lord, as they view at times. They'll see through the camera the glory cloud, the presence of God. Let them see your angels. Jesus, we worship you. Let them see your angels, Lord. Let them see your angels. Let them see your angels. Let them see your angels. Presence. Your presence, Lord. Presence, Jesus. Walking the middle aisle. Touching the hearts, the lives. Jesus, we glorify you, Jesus, we glorify you. Let me just speak to you for a little bit. We may be all back up here worshiping in a little bit. I don't know. He wants to say some things about and remind us about spiritual warfare and our maturity, our individual maturity, our collective maturity and our individual maturity. Now I'm going to read just a portion of Pastor Jim Martin's letter. I hope you get his letters as well. This past letter, June 2025, Spiritual Warfare. And I'm not going to read it all. I don't have it all here in front of me, but I have the portion that he wants me to read. Hallelujah. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Keep praying the Spirit. Before he starts, he says our 2025 Revival Now conference, Sunday, April 27th through Friday, May 2nd, was amazing, and it was. None of the speakers communicated with each other on what they were going to teach, but preparing for and carrying out spiritual warfare turned out to be the theme. What was taught exposed the error of much spiritual warfare teaching in the body of Christ today. Additionally, there were healings and people experienced tremendous breakthroughs in the areas of emotions and their thought life. I ministered in the Sunday morning service and began to share a dream, and that's what we're going to read, that dream I had concerning spiritual warfare. And the current state of the church below is that dream. Here's the dream. And he had this, I think, recently, just before the conference, sometime earlier. Jim says this, the dream began with several hundred Christians standing outside in a grassy area. They were in groups of various sizes and would move from group to group. Everyone was discussing the same thing, spiritual warfare. Although I couldn't hear the specifics of any of the conversations, I knew everyone was talking about spiritual warfare, what it is and how to enter spiritual warfare and so forth. On my right was a small hill which ran the length of a grassy area. Suddenly, there was a low rumbling sound coming from the other side of the hill. Someone shouted, "They're coming!" And everyone began scrambling in great confusion. I looked towards the hill, and a massive army of soldiers was marching in a perfect order and discipline with rifles on their shoulders. They had a look of absolute determination, one that indicated they were intent on accomplishing their assignment. These soldiers looked exactly like the North Korean army and were under the command of an officer on horseback. As they marched towards us, people began looking for weapons. I ran to get a rifle of my own, and just as I picked it up, someone yelled out, "It's too late. They're already here." I turned to look and saw that the soldiers had marched into the midst of the Christians. As I stood there watching, I noticed that the Christians were talking to the soldiers and trying to make friends with them to keep them from getting killed. This is where the dream ended. He said, "I woke up and began meditating on the meaning of the dream, and the Lord began ministering to me and said, 'This is the way my church is. They talk about spiritual warfare, but do nothing to be fully equipped to engage the enemy. Then, when the enemy marches into their lives, they're filled with confusion. They only try to develop their spiritual warfare or armor after the attack has begun. The army in your dream represents," this is what the Lord said to him, "the highly disciplined armies of darkness. They are more prepared for battle than my church. This is why they succeed over and over. They're well trained and fully determined to accomplish their assignment. Until my children learn to stay in my presence to be equipped for battle, they will try to fight with their own understanding and will lose every time." Wow. Quite a dream. As the Lord prepared me and said, "I want you to read that and speak to the people this morning about," I heard him later term it hybrid illusion, the hybrid illusion. Now, we have read this before. I wrote this. The Holy Spirit gave me this. I saw this in a vision, and I wrote it down, and this was in February of 2024. The vision did not happen. It was earlier in January, and then I wrote the vision in February. The Lord began to bring it to pass, that I would write it down. So I want you to just listen. This is an allegory. It's a vision, but it's an allegory. It's teaching, and I want you to hear it and listen. Pray in the Spirit as you listen. This is the amusement park and the battlefield. This was the February letter of 2024. And it goes perfectly with what the Lord gave Jim. "Dear friend, recently God gave me an inward vision of the spiritual condition of the body of Christ. We are possibly at the greatest crossroads since the beginning of the church. No other generation before us has ever had the commission of ushering in the end time harvest of souls. But with this harvest comes an incredible responsibility. A war must be fought. This war must be fought by Christ's spiritual army, equipped by the power of God's Holy Spirit. The body of Christ is standing at the crossroads of a vast decision. The decision is between a road of the gospel of illusion, the gospel of illusion, which is an easy path, or the tumultuous path of the battlefield. The body of Christ is standing at the crossroads of a vast... Okay, I read that. While one path offers all the perks of a self-fulfilled life, the end is emptiness and disillusionment. The other path is often less desirable, but offers the promise of having a life filled with the continual joy and power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the great commission of Christ. The question is, and for all of us at all times, even past any moment of decision, it's a continual, where do you stand? And what path will you choose? Christ is asking his revivalists to choose with increasing intensity a walk of self-denial for the purpose of winning the lost. And I said, I will pray that the following blesses you. I'm just reading the letter now. The amusement park and the battlefield. Listen, pray in the Spirit. Sometime on the morning of January the 11th, after a time of prayer, I had a mini vision. The vision was totally unexpected, but nevertheless appeared in a picture form inwardly. It was a split screen picture with two different images on either side. On the left side of the screen, I saw an amusement park, and on the right side of the screen, I saw a battlefield. I knew in the vision that it was a picture not to be observed, but rather a picture. I knew in the vision that it was a picture not to be observed, but rather a picture of choice. I have learned through the years that when I see something like this, God is speaking, and it is important that I listen carefully to what he is seeking to reveal. I also know that it is important to record as soon as possible the vision or prophetic word so that nothing is lost. The following is what I believe to be a prophetic interpretation. As I began to sit and write over the next few days, the following was revealed to me in an allegory form. It is not to be understood. It is not to be understood prophetic word for the prophetic word for word, but as an interpretation of the inward vision. I saw a man, much like in the book, The Pilgrim's Progress, standing at a fork in the road. In front of where he stood were two gates of entry, one on the left and one on the right. It was as if looking at a split screen. These were not just still pictures, but entries into two moving worlds. They both met together in the middle, and yet somehow they were totally separate. On the left appeared to be something like an amusement or theme park. It held all the promise of fun, excitement, adventure, and attraction of every sort. There were lights, galas, and food from every cuisine under the theme of Christianity. This wasn't just any theme park, it was a Christian theme park. It offered the promise of a life of self-fulfillment. On the right side was a mostly dark and desolate looking land that offered really no promise of beauty. It appeared as the desolation of something like a World War I battlefield. Because of the continual bombing, the cratered field had very little vegetation in sight. The amazing part was that I saw no soldiers. Although I knew that they were there, they were either too few in number or most had moved on to a forward position where the real fighting existed. Back at the amusement park, there was a party spirit among everyone. The crowd was not hard to see here. In fact, it was very crowded. It was hard to squeeze through the mix of people. The amusement park was designed to keep Christians. The amusement park was designed to keep Christians happy and amuse their entire lives and never question their decision of choosing the amusement park over the battlefield. At the gate were families and individuals, all entering in under a sign that read the Gospel of Illusion. There were no tickets to be had, nor anything to be handed to the gatekeeper. No money passed hands, but only an oath to be repeated. The oath was, "I pledge to believe whatever I hear and feel with my physical senses. I will not by any means consider any inward promptings that question or contradict the standards of the amusement park. I promise to ignore them and consider them man-made or satanic in origin." Almost immediately, there was a strange peace that settled over each individual that took the oath. Each Christian thought, "This peace feels different than the one I felt when I first received Christ." But as soon as they had that thought, they were immediately reminded that their oath to question nothing. And with that, there was a resolve that this peace could not be a counterfeit. Once inside the gate, there seemed to be more options than could be imagined. The path of each corridor was wide and spacious, as if to make room for everyone. There were ministry theaters scattered about that the people were crowding into. In each show, a gospel was preached that filled the audience with excitement. A gospel was preached that was so close to the truth that no one dared to mention that it gave no reference to self-denial, repentance, or even obedience. In addition to that, it was confirmed by the emotional weeping of the crowd, hearing how good God was in providing such things, a wonderful life, free from all condemnation. Tears and emotions were understood to be the presence of God. Once a person left one theater, there was always something more to see and do. Strangely enough, there were at times sounds in the distance almost too far away to distinguish. The sounds seemed to be coming from outside a dome that covered the entire park, meant to impede outside interference. The park played sweet melody of Christian favorites through the intercom system. The music kept the crowds somewhat sedated. But every once in a while, something would break through like a radio frequency to override it only for a few seconds. The sounds seemed to be that of a war somewhere. There were battle sounds of swords and shields clashings and bombs going off in the distance. There were directives that could be heard from a commander who instructed the army to continue to move forward and not stop. When the army heard that command, you could hear shouts of victory and singing. The army would also shout, come and join the army of the Lord. Immediately after this strange override, you could hear a voice coming through the intercom, trying to sound calm, but masking a real frustration. The voice would tell the park visitors to ignore what you had just heard, that was some rogue group was trying to plant a virus called truth in the park's internet system. The voice would then remind everyone that they should remember the oath to believe no outside interference. There were so many rides to go on that the list seemed endless. One of the most favorite rides in the park was My Best Life Now. On this ride, you were exhilarated by all the promises of blessings and eternal security without commitment. You laughed, you cried, you could hardly catch your breath at the top of the coaster when you saw the wonderful things that Christ had provided for you to have your happy ever after with very little or no commitment on your part. There was also the prosperity ride. This ride promised prosperity for your personal benefit through the process of formulas. Giving a financial gift started the ride. And the way that you made it go faster is to give more. At any time the ride slowed down, it only meant you were not giving enough. But just the excitement of becoming rich was enough to dispel all discouragement of why it really wasn't working. There were so many food courts, food trucks, and stands were everywhere you looked. The most popular food truck was the one for personal prophecies with no commitment or personal time in prayer or the word. You could stop by and receive a personal prophecy of how great you were and all the magnificent plans God had for your life. And again, no words of self-sacrifice or crucifixion of the flesh were allowed. There was even a dunk tank on one corner with a clown named Fasting. Each time Fasting was dunked, the crowd laughed wildly at the thought of a religious church believing that fasting was still necessary when Jesus paid the entire price. There were booths where you could drop by and give a donation to the poor, missionary efforts to Africa, or some other impoverished part of the planet. The booths promised a soothing of all conscience regarding any past disobedience to become personally engaged in evangelism. There was a promise of tears and warm and fuzzy feeling of the benevolence and affirmation. There it was again, but this time even louder. The interruption of the hypnotic music, the sound of war, battlefield cries, and the sound of billions of souls in a lost and dying world, again came the reminder to ignore the interruption. Although all creature comforts were being so fitly interwoven with what appeared to be the true gospel, something was extremely wrong. There was no joy among the people. The crowd seemed continually dissatisfied. The energy that the people had at the entrance of the gate soon after salvation seemed to be waning moment by moment. Now they were sluggish, no contentment, complaining about everything. Nothing seemed to satisfy them. They wandered about like zombies. The further they went into the park, the more exasperated they looked. Every once in a while, they got an adrenaline pick-me-up by attending a theater called My Dream Home, New Car, or next vacation, but that only seemed to last until the new was gone. Trust among this group was little to none. There was a plastic kind of facade that never allowed the real person to be seen. Although they high-fived and fist-bumped, there was no camaraderie. There was no intimacy or trust that anyone really cared or had anyone's back. Divorce was an absolute favorite ride. The park provided divorce instantaneously for almost any reason. All that mattered was the individual's happiness. The further you went into the park, the rides of immorality of every sort were provided with only a promise of God's grace that shielded from all judgment. Sometimes months, years, and even lifetimes would pass so quickly that no one noticed. There were also many other phenomena in the park to be observed. There were places called transport portals where an individual could choose to be transported all the way back to the beginning of their salvation. They could go all the way back to the gates of choice. The only requirement for the transport portal was true biblical repentance. But there was also another strange phenomenon taking place. The more that people moved forward towards the back of the park, they became entirely deaf of certain sounds. Although the battle cries of the and invitations from the army of the Lord still interrupted the intercom system, the crowd could no longer hear the invitation. Strangely enough, towards the back of the park was another exit. This exit was a gate into eternity. This exit required no sense of choice and something like a gravitational pull was bringing everyone to this gate with or without their desire to go. The closer everyone got to this gate, groups were being formed almost instinctively. It seemed as if no one noticed that they had joined a group. It just happened. Sometimes families were separated from each other by these groups. A very large group called Loss of Reward. A very large group was called Loss of Reward. Although this group never truly joined the army of the Lord, they still retained enough to go through the exit gate and enter into heaven, but with very little to show for a Christian life lived inside the park. Still another almost equally large group had formed, which was called the Five Foolish Virgins. This group seemed to be all the more belligerent the closer they got to the gate. They were professing themselves to be wise, yet they became fools. They never noticed that somewhere in the park their internal lights had gone out. They moved closer to the gate of eternity while always believing that they were prepared to enter into the gate that read in bold lights, the joys of the Lord. But something terrifying took place just seconds before each one entered the gate. The lights of the gate would glitch, and another sign would appear which read, "Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it." With this, there was a gnashing of teeth and a clawing on the sides of the gates as they tried to hold themselves, their footing, and stay in the park. But now it was too late. All choices were over. The battlefield sides of the screen seemed to be very little had very little attention given to me by the Lord compared to the amusement park. The battlefield represents the last day army of the Lord. These are revivalists. These are the ones who are becoming laser focused on their assignment to harvest the planet. These are the ones who are choosing every day to abandon their lives to become bondservants of the Lord. These are the ones who understand the call to become narrowly focused. The Lord said to me, this army will rescue millions, not only on the battlefield of this world, but they will rescue millions in the amusement park. They will rescue not only from the loss of reward, but groups, the loss of reward group, but also from the five foolish virgins. The Lord closed his visitation with me with this scripture, and it's out of Revelation 7, 9 through 12. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number. And all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, and saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last Sunday, we talked about, and I said I wasn't trying to use it to be cute as a catchphrase, but it just does demonstrate, so it kind of coined something AI, but we weren't talking necessarily about artificial intelligence, although I did start the message with something that seemed like I could have written it, although my kid said, Dad, we knew from the beginning that wasn't you, because we just know you would have taken longer to talk about each point. But some said, no, I thought maybe you were trying, but I just demonstrated what many of you already know, is that AI can write things for you, and it can sound so close. And really, everything that I read really was the truth, and it was scriptural. But it was the demonstration was for one purpose, is that truth can be spoken from an artificial source, artificial intimacy. And then it bled into artificial intimacy. And the artificial intimacy had two points to it. A church at large that can artificially worship God and think that they're in the presence of the Lord, the amusement park for today's message. They can believe and they never wake up because their senses are empowered by excitement, goosebumps that are not generated by the Holy Spirit. And yet, the telltale sign is this. If that is going on, if true biblical intimacy is going on in a church or someone's life personally, they will ever be gravitating towards a walk of righteousness and true holiness and all that they were created to be. And you'll watch it in their life mature. If their life is only mimicking what they're hearing, even in a church like this, and not doing it, you can say things that are the truth with an artificial intimacy, second-hand intimacy. Because you hear it, you can repeat it. And yet if your life is not changing in a way in which people can look at your life and say they truly have the Lord. The way they talk, the way that they walk, They don't hear profanity coming out of your mouth. Christians shouldn't cuss. If you can cuss without cussing, should go in the first couple minutes of your life. I question if you're really born again, if you can just cuss. It's one thing, okay, I'm not giving you a hall pass, but it's one thing to be working out in the shop or putting something up in a picture and hit your thumb and the flesh just for a second. And you just say, oh God. But it's another thing for you to just be commonly talking and cursing. Christians can't talk nasty either. They can't say nasty things. Husbands that are true husbands, they may talk about in a sweet way or in a good way the good things of, but not too far, about the beautiful life that they have with their wife. But you won't get with other men and say naughty things, single or married. Your life of going forward in Christ, it shows. And anybody that tells you it's all by grace and you've been changed and it doesn't matter if it ever shows up, it does matter. Now let me just kind of close with this. As I said, there's two types of, based on what I taught last week, of AI, the kind of AI that you can go to a church that, and many of them will be there with the Lord, but I don't want to be in that crowd because there's a false, you know, that amusement park had so many powerful, and I'm not that smart, that had to be given to me by God. But if you go to those kinds of artificial intimacy churches, eventually you'll believe that what you're sensing is Holy Spirit. And then you'll accept, if Holy Spirit is there, then you'll accept what the minister says from the pulpit. And it's what he doesn't say that destroys people. I am all about God's love. And I'm all about healing. And I'm all about us going forward, but if the pulpit doesn't have a strong message in that love of self-denial and crucifixion of the flesh, there is something adamantly wrong. Something crucial is missing. And then it makes me wonder about why the preacher can't bring that up, why he can't talk about it. Now let me close with just some statements here. As discerning as the amusement park is to all of us, and I'm so thankful for all of you, I really am. I seriously, it's not like I'm picking you up so I can give you a body slam. I truly am. But this is to all of us, myself included, these words. Let's just talk for a few minutes about, we've spoken about artificial intimacy. Let's talk about hybrid illusion. The hybrid illusion would be this. There's an illusion beyond the amusement park. It's the warriors that are engaged in the army of the Lord, but they're not fully engaged. That's another level. Their deception is that they believe that because they have escaped the amusement park church and attend a church that is teaching true spiritual warfare, dying to the flesh, and a life of prayer and fasting, that they are fully doing the message. And look a little down on the poor, misfortunate souls that go to a woke or less informed churches. Should I read that again? Okay, I will. Thank you. Here's the next level of hybrid. Their deception is that they believe that because they have escaped the amusement park church and attend a church that is teaching true spiritual warfare, dying to the flesh, and a life of prayer and fasting, that they are fully doing the message. And look a little down on the poor, misfortunate souls that go to a woke or less informed churches. Hybrid illusion beyond the amusement park is knowing but not having a, but knowing but not doing. Hybrid illusion beyond amusement park is knowing but not doing. But having a concept of doing strictly because of an association, having a concept of doing strictly because of an association of knowledge. In other words, well, I believe I'm doing it because I understand what is being taught. And I say amen to it. I'll remind us of a strong that Pastor Dave used to say, a stronghold, the greatest quality of a stronghold is that being in a stronghold and not knowing it. Rebuking the devil while inside of a stronghold, they're giving a permission to. And I'm saying this morning to all of us that the answer to being always washing our eyes, Jesus said, I'll come and wash to the church in the book of Revelation. There was a church. He said, I'll come with the eye salve and I will wash your eyes. And the Holy Spirit, now I'm glad I go to this church and I'm glad you go to this church. But if there's anything that we can become a hybrid, we're away from the amusement park church. But then our hybrid of illusion is this: thinking is not doing. The knowledge of is not doing. And only the doing takes us to a place of true change. And so we have to, all of us, understand this, that if we're going to continue to walk into this life without disillusion or without the illusionment of, I'm right where I need to be, the word says that as many as are perfect, let them continue to stand in where they're at. And if we be any otherwise like-minded, he will reveal it unto us. Humility in always coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, show me where I'm giving excuses. Show me where I'm giving excuses in my prayer life. I have said this 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,001, and then I'll say it 10,000 more times. He's not going to ask you to do what I'm doing. If you justify a lack of prayer life by saying, I can't do what he's doing, there's no way with my job, my family, my kids, you've already stepped into the illusionment of excuses. But until you say, Lord, I know you enough. What are you saying is my portfolio? What are you asking of me? And as long as you humble yourself and then you do what he asks, and you ask him, show me areas of my life where I'm at, where I'm giving excuses to, and yet I feel like I'm doing the message and I'm right where I need to be. Listen, this is not against you. It's not against you watching, and it's not against me, because I'm right in here with you. If we were all, even this group, if we were all doing this message to the level that that truth has been presented here, we would already have revival. Not everybody in this group is doing this message. Not everybody watching is doing this. But we're not doing it, and I'm not talking about the intensity of 40 hours a week, 20 hours a week, however many. I'm talking about just surrendering ourselves to God and saying, Lord, I know the truth. Now let me be humble enough to begin to walk in that truth and not allow myself to become a hybrid of I know a whole lot more than them, and yet am I doing it? That's the truth to us. That's the truth to us. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I'm giving you a lot of minutes each week. I look and it's 11:36. Should we just stand here and look at each other for the next 20 minutes so we can say we've had church? Hallelujah. We worship you. Just a couple minutes maybe. Hallelujah. We glorify you. We worship you. Let's just sing one chorus or something and go out of here. We glorify you. Come join us tonight if you can. And we are online. If you can't get here, you can sit and pray with us for an hour and a half. We worship you, Jesus. Would you say this with me? Lord Jesus, we know this, that none of us have totally arrived. As Paul said, we're all striving. We're all striving for this place. But we're asking you, once again in humility, wash our eyes with the eye salve of heaven. Let us see clearly. Put those spiritual eye drops in our eyes so that our vision is clear. And that we see our own hindrances, our own excuses. And then we thank you for the grace to submit these things to you and see true biblical change. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lead us, Harry, as we close today. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord.
Just to be close to you is where I long to be. Let me hide myself inside your heart to find my destiny. Every step I take,
yes, Jesus,
is one less step I need. To be in your presence and close to thee.
One more time.
Just to be close to you is where I long to be. Let me hide myself inside your heart to find my destiny. Every step I take is one less step I need to be in your presence and close to thee. To be in your presence and close to thee.
Hallelujah. We love you so much. Those of you that are watching and those that are here, you're precious to God and precious to Candy and I. Have a wonderful afternoon. Enjoy your break. Enjoy your afternoon and your lunch today. And we will see you back again tonight. Amen.
To be in your presence.